Welcome to this new episode of The Context. My name is David Orban, and I will be talking to you about jolting technologies. There is a paradigm shift moving from accelerating technological change to jolting technological change. What is a jolt? Technically, the jolt is the measure of the rate of change of acceleration. Mathematically, it is the third derivative of position. The first derivative is velocity as a vector, or speed as an absolute measure. The second derivative is acceleration, and the third derivative is jolt. Let me give you immediately a couple of examples to show that this is not just abstract and useless in terms of wanting to go further and dealing with quantities that have nothing to do with our world, but live in mathematical abstraction. The first example is that of a variable acceleration. Imagine a rocket. The engines are at full thrust as it ascends. But contrary to many other forms of transportation, the rocket brings on board both its propellant and its oxidant, and as they chemically combine, the exhaust gas, based on the third law of Newton, gives the reaction that accelerates the rocket. However, what happens is that this acceleration is proportional to actually the mass of the rocket. It would be also proportional to the force, but we said that the engine is at maximum power, so it will be constant. And as the rocket consumes its propellant and oxidant, combining and expelling them, its mass will diminish. And the diminishing mass will lead to an increasing acceleration during the ascent. Of course, this is just an example, and there are other factors to consider as well. For example, the diminishing force exercised by the atmosphere if you go higher and higher altitudes, there is less and less air. And as a consequence, the rocket will have an easier and easier time ascending due to that too. Here is another example. In this case, of a variable rate of deceleration. Imagine you are in your car and you are going not too fast, but maybe just a little bit too fast. And a pedestrian steps off the curb in front of you, and as you brake in order to stop and not to hit the pedestrian, after a few seconds or a fraction of a second, you realize that you must brake harder. And as you step on the brakes, your rate of deceleration increases in order to be able to stop in time. And this will bring your car to a jolting halt. As a matter of fact, in the various legal and contractual frameworks surrounding public transportation, there is a concept of jolt and jerk. Jerk is a synonym of jolt. It may even be more frequently used. If you look up jolt in Wikipedia, it will automatically redirect you to the article talking about jerk. However, as I was designing this episode, I decided that I couldn't talk to you about jerking technologies. So from now on, we will be talking about jolt and jolting technologies only. So when the bus lurches and moves and stops and starts, it is fundamental for the bus driver to drive as smoothly as possible, rather than jolting and jerking and potentially causing damage to the passengers, even without necessarily an accident, because our skeleton and our muscles need to adapt to the new speed, or in this case, to the new acceleration that must be reached very, very progressively. So I hope these two examples clarify the fact that when we are talking about jolt, it is a natural phenomenon that happens, that variable accelerations occur, and we need to take them into account. In this series, I often talk about accelerating technological change in various areas, and as a matter of fact, the exponential technologies that we analyze and teach at Singularity University, for example, are at the basis of so many things that happen in the world today that we must thrive to understand them. Technology creates change. And over the course of centuries, if you observe this change, you may think that change is constant. But in reality, what happens is that almost imperceptibly, the speed of technological change as it accumulates increases. That is why we are talking about accelerating technologies. And if at the beginning you couldn't realize that this is what was happening, after a while, it becomes evident. And more people embrace the paradigm that there is an accelerating technological change, and that it impacts business and society, the way we live. To the point where if for some reason in some area this acceleration doesn't keep up with our expectations, we are let down. We will say things like, oh my God, the new mobile phone just announced is not as big a change as we thought. It is just an incremental change. Incremental change doesn't satisfy our expectations anymore. So, what happens with jolting technologies where the rate of acceleration itself is increasing? Do jolting technologies actually exist? Can we think about them, that jolting technologies will be here and they may influence, overwhelm, or really just disrupt what merely accelerating technologies are doing? So if we think about the feature of accelerating technologies, that compared to linear phenomena, they may be incubating for a long time before becoming evident and disrupting the status quo, actually with jolting technologies, this can be even longer. Or the impact of jolting technologies for quite some time can be even less discernible, even harder to latch on or to believe that it is real. But then, when they go beyond the given threshold, their effect is even more dramatic, even more disruptive, even more explosive. So, in order to convince you that jolting technologies are real, let me give you several examples that this is already happening in computation, communication, cognition, transportation, biology, and elsewhere. Before giving you those examples, though, let me talk about a little bit more about the mathematical representation, because it is going to be this mathematical representation that is going to lead to the model through which to analyze certain technologies and make falsifiable predictions that will demonstrate scientifically that the approach and the model are valid and useful, and that potentially will lead to applications in business, applications in technology management, and so on. So the mathematical formula for accelerating technologies is the exponential function. For example, 2 to the power of x. And exponentials are often shown graphically as a line on a logarithmic chart. For a given unit of time, the value measured and represented is going to increase an order of magnitude. On a logarithmic chart, what we have is the time typically represented in the horizontal axis, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. And on the vertical axis, we will have some kind of value. For example, very famously, Moore's law saying that the number of transistors that we can cram on a given area of an integrated circuit is going to double for every 18 months approximately. So on the vertical axis of an exponential phenomenon, as it is represented on a logarithmic chart, we will have 1, 10, 100, 1,000, 10,000, and so forth. And when you plot the transistor count of chips over the course of 20, 30, 40, 50 years, which is the amount of time that we've known about Moore's law, this self-fulfilling prophecy of engineers worldwide trying to prove it true, you will find that with deviations, obviously, statistically here and there, but you will be able to correctly plot or interpolate the chips with their transistor densities and transistor counts on a line on this chart. The mathematical formula for jolting technologies is super exponential, such as 2 to the second to x. And when we represent this graphically on a logarithmic chart, we will have an exponential curve. This is just a visual aid, but it is also a tool for verifying if certain hypotheses about jolting technologies can be interpolated, and as a consequence, if we can make certain forecasts about their rate of growth for the future. What would happen, what we would need to be able to observe, is that for every unit of time, the value that we are predicting for a jolting technology will increase an increasing value. Now, we are barely prepared to cope with exponential technologies. Famously, successful companies ran by extremely professional and well-prepared CEOs were led to ignore competitors that at the time didn't appear to be representing a menace to the leadership of that industry and unseating the leading company, but then they've proven to be formidable competitors, pushed ahead and sustained by the exponential technologies that they were driving. And the former leaders could do practically nothing. And they succumbed and they were eliminated. The failure of Kodak of predicting the success of digital cameras, both technologically as well as the various use cases that would put them in the hands of billions of people. The failure of Blockbuster predicting the success of Netflix that would lead to their going bankrupt for both of these companies, as a matter of fact. Well, if that is the case, I think it is safe to say that we are completely unprepared, desperately unprepared to face the explosive changes that jolting technologies are going to bring. And the statistical variations, of course, that can happen where the various forces at play contribute to these concrete examples that we are analyzing not to be exactly on those predicted paths of development, but being outperforming or underperforming them, these variations are going to be really dramatic. If you hated the stock market flash crash that happened a decade ago or so, then wait until the world is going to be dominated by jolting technologies. But that is exactly why it is so urgent that we develop a series of methodologies that allow us to cope with the consequences of jolting technologies defining our world. Because the way that we understand the world will be profoundly impacted by them, and the world itself, the reality on the ground. How far is our image already, oftentimes, of an African country, an African city? How far is the image we have of China or of other countries? How many New Yorkers driving the crumbling subway daily have experienced the science fiction grade subway in Beijing or Shanghai? Just a tiny fraction. They don't realize how out of sync their worldview is from reality. And as jolting technologies are going to be unevenly adopted in various parts of the world, there will be truly areas that embrace science fiction fully and other areas of the planet that stay behind, maybe not even realizing or uncomprehending and disbelieving, because the changes are not just gonna be of a trash-filled, smelly, crumbling subway in the world finance capital that is so proud of its role compared to a shiny, reliable, fast system on the other side of the world. But the differences will be even more dramatic of what it is going to be human, what is the biological basis of being human, what are the applications of AI or nanotechnology that society is able to support and to absorb. Who is going to make our species interplanetary, who is going to explore the universe? So let me give you, in closing, a few rapid series of jolting technologies as examples to show you that this is real, that this is happening. Quantum computing. And you will say, well, where is quantum computing? And you would be right. Quantum computing is not still here, but that is kind of exactly the point. The first time I used quantum computers, and this deserves, of course, as a technology, but also as an anecdote, a separate episode of the context, was 10 years ago. And it's not that things have been dramatically transformed since, but jolting technology is incubating perceptibly for a long time, a longer time than merely exponential technologies. And they will be more dramatic. Why is this the case with the quantum computers? Because the components of quantum computers obey Moore's law. But the way that quantum computers are able to leverage their components is exponential. So there is an exponential substrate supporting exponential software. And that is why the consequence of the combined effect is super exponential. Second example, gene sequencing. We have been showing, I have been showing in my conferences, charts of the decreasing cost of gene sequencing over the course of many years. And this chart would show a line in a logarithmic chart showing that rather than $3 billion 15 years ago, the cost of a complete gene sequencing is 3 million and then 3,000. Not even that. Rather than the decrease being merely exponential, the decrease is super exponential. The decrease is jolting. In the last few years, quite interestingly, this acceleration in the power of gene sequencing and the deceleration in the cost, the dramatically dropping cost, actually jolting acceleration and jolting deceleration in the cost, slowed down. Now it is merely exponential. And the reason is because the patents in the gene sequencing machines are about to expire. So rather than respecting their clients and respecting the market forces, the holders of those patents are saying, oh my God, this is going to disappear. We are not going to be able to extract from the market these juicy royalties and these juicy charges that we have been doing in the past several years. So let's milk it for these last few years. Let's milk it as much as we can, even if with this disrespect for the market forces, probably we are alienating the ecosystem participants that realize that we are taking advantage of them. It doesn't matter, because now we are protagonists, we are leaders, but we are not going to be anymore. When our patents expire, everybody else is going to jump into the market, so let's ride it out until the going is good. After these two examples of concrete technologies that represent jolting technologies today, let me give you a few predictions. What I expect of other technologies to have these jolting characteristics. One of them is in communications, where the deployment of generation after generation after generation of communication technologies brought in more and more people. And each of these has observed an exponential growth. Each of them has been able to capture more and more orders of magnitude of people. But the interpolation, the cumulative chart that you can design of the generations of communications technologies is designing a super exponential. And the next generation, the 5G networks, 5G networks, as well as the simultaneous deployment of low Earth orbit swarms of satellites for communications that SpaceX and Google and Facebook and many others are simultaneously trying to both launch as well as start operating in the next handful of years, is going to represent that jolting disruption as there will be a deluge of options of gigabit per second and more communication options for everybody on the planet. Another technology that I expect will have this kind of jolting effect is the deployment of self-driving electric cars. After the combustion engine's success over the course of the 20th century, with now battery technology and computing technology being able to deliver the performance that we want, a real paradigm shift is going to happen, and it is going to have a jolting effect on the industry. What is going to be this jolting effect? In my prediction, every car company that is not already fully believing and already investing tens of billions of dollars in the development of self-driving electric cars is going to go bankrupt. Last example, artificial intelligence, neural networks, deep learning, and other technologies being applied not only to real-world challenges, which is absolutely fine and necessary, but artificial intelligence designing AI systems. With these various approaches and others that will emerge, and of course, quantum computing also having to do with all of it, the lurking of AI performance that has been quite dramatically in the news because of its exponential power is going to shift into this jolting metaphor. And AI systems being able to design AI systems without at all the necessity of it becoming conscious and wanting to kill humanity or pretending to have human rights or being able to solve universal problems under the artificial general intelligence paradigm, without all of that, is going to already represent a jolting technology with huge disrupting force. Do we need all of these predictions to come true? Do we need all of these technologies to actually obey my expectation of this new metaphor, this new approach, this new methodology needed to understand them? Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if some of them will be merely exponential and not all of them proving to be jolting technologies. But as some of them will be, our world is going to be transformed. Now, you may think, well, actually, let's pretend I'm joking. Not about what I just said, but what about what I am about to say right now. Let's pretend I'm joking. Because jouncing technologies are the ones with a variable rate of jolt. Jouncing technologies, and I'm not gonna cover them anymore in this episode of The Context, are naturally post-singularitarian. We need advanced jerking and jolting technologies to understand them. Should we care about the power of jolting technologies today? Maybe. But if that is true, it will be for a new episode of The Context. So thank you very much for listening and watching this until the end. I truly appreciate your attention. And if you want, you can become a supporter on Patreon and help me and my team with as little as $5 a month, or even less if you find the option, because that is just a suggested amount, and you can become a supporter with any amount to produce more episodes of The Context and to create the future together.